From God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this morning comes from Psalm 91. We're going to back up a couple of verses, verses 9 through 11. If you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overcome you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Surrounded. As we talk with the little kids, that's never a good thing. To be surrounded means that you're probably in a hopeless situation. To be surrounded usually means certain defeat. Consider the events of February 23rd to March 6, 1836. A handful of 180 Americans fighting for Texas independence were in the Alamo Mission, and they were surrounded by 4,000 Mexican soldiers. They held out against those overwhelming forces for almost 13 days. But on that last day, the battle came to a gruesome end. The Mexican army recaptured the mission of the Alamo, and all the surrounded Texans, including Davy Crockett, were all killed. Let's jump ahead a little. June 25th, 1876. To the Little Bighorn River in Montana. It's been called Custer's last stand. General Custer and the men of the 7th Cavalry quickly found themselves surrounded and greatly outnumbered by several tribes of the Plains Indians. The last 40 to 50 of Custer's men were surrounded on a small hilltop and were surrounded by hundreds of Native warriors. In a matter of minutes, because of overwhelming firepower and overwhelming numbers, the Battle of the Little Bighorn came to an end. One more account of a group of people who are surrounded. This one comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 20. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth and to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. We'll finish that story in a little bit. Now, when we talk about being surrounded, we also have to talk about angels. So let's first remind ourselves what Scripture teaches us about angels. They were originally created as holy beings to serve God. They were to carry out his commands and ultimately to help and watch over us. Daniel chapter 7 tells us that there are a lot of holy angels. He writes, thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. They are powerful. We read this in 2 Kings. That night, an angel of the Lord, one angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that they are sent to help us. He writes, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" And then remember what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane that night when he was being betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He turns to his disciples and says to them, "Do you not think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once send to my aid more than 12 legions of angels?" 12 legions. That's about 72,000 angels who are ready at a moment's notice to come to his aid. Would God do anything less for us? St. Paul writes in Romans, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" 72,000 angels ready to jump to our aid in a moment's notice. Scripture also tells us that some of those created angels rebelled against God and sinned. Scripture also tells us that there are a whole lot of evil angels too in this world. Scripture also reminds us that they are powerful. It tells us that they hate God, and their mission is to destroy anything that is good, and especially to go after the children of God. That's why we're warned in 1 Peter to be sober and to be alert, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. In the Gospels, Jesus meets up with a man who is possessed by demons. Listen to this account of that man, Mark chapter 5. "This man lived in tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day he was in the tombs and in the hills, and he would cry out, and he would cut himself with rocks." Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Jesus was talking to one man who was possessed by a legion of demons, 6,000. What a scary thought. One person possessed by 6,000 demons. Surrounded. Overwhelmed. Hopeless. About to be utterly destroyed. Yes, evil angels are powerful. And there's a whole lot of them. They're cunning. They're sneaky. They're liars, and they are deceitful, and they are always up to no good. But remember this from Revelation chapter 12. "Then a war broke out. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon." Now the dragon is Satan. "Fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. And the great dragon was hurled down." A fight broke out. No, a war broke out. Michael and his angels against Satan and his angels. Now, Satan and his angels must have been pretty sure they could have won that fight. Maybe they felt they had numerical superiority. I'm sure they felt they were strong enough to defeat Michael and his angels. They must have had a battle plan. on how they would attack and win the victory. But they weren't strong enough. And they lost. They lost everything. They and their leader were hurled down. That's a very violent word in Scripture. Hurled down. Cast down. Thrown down. Thrust out. The words paint a picture of complete and utter defeat. But not just defeat, but a defeat with no hope of ever rising up again. Think of Luther's Reformation hymn. The devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill. They shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl as fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. That fight with Satan and his angels has been fought. The victory over them has been won. We need to remember that we fight an utterly defeated foe. Yeah, they can trip us up and cause us to stumble in our walk of faith. They can even batter and bruise us on our journey to eternal life. But they cannot defeat us. The fight has been fought. The victory has been won. Again, St. Paul from Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who is justified. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of God in Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famineness or nakedness or danger or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And Paul wraps it up by saying, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus. Those words are true. Those words are always true, even if we are living in a time when it doesn't seem like they might be true. But let's get back to that picture in Revelation chapter 20. Remember, we were looking at a small camp of God's people, and they were surrounded 360 degrees as far to the horizon as you could see, by all the people of this world, by Satan and all of his evil angels. Scripture tells us that those numbers of people who are against that small camp of God's people are as great as the grains of sand on the seashore. That's a lot of people. And they're preparing for war against this small camp of believers. Maybe a better way to say that is they're not preparing for war. They're preparing to annihilate that small camp of believers. So let's pick up the scene from where we left off. Revelation 20, starting 9b. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That first word. But what looks like it's going to be a terrible defeat is changed to something else. That scene goes from one of hopeless despair and defeat to a glorious victory. Why? Because God Almighty stepped into the picture. Luther puts it this way: the Word is by our side with his good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, wife, though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth. As you journey through the wilderness of this world, look at it this way. As you journey through the wildness of this world, keep this image in your mind. As you go, the Lord God Almighty holds you in the palm of his hand. He wraps his strong, loving arms around you. He is your mighty fortress. He clothes you with his own full armor. He empowers you with his own power. He goes before you. He follows after you. He is always with you. And he surrounds you with legions of his holy angels to guard you and to protect you and to bear you up in all your ways, just to make sure that you are always safe and secure. And no matter what the world and the devil may throw at us, we're going to arrive at our heavenly home. Our God is with us. He is by our side. We are surrounded. So I guess that's not such a bad thing after all. Amen. We rise. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. We join in our confession.